Okay.
Folks, what I want to say in a few remarks here, because we have to take questions and stuff. Geez, Larry, man, this was great. This was great. What you have related to everybody, the people that we've been talking about, a lot of them, Kellums, Porth, Schiff, Byron Foote, I'm not sure about Tupper Saucy, I am. Red Beckman, Bill Benson, I think Bill's still around. Vern Holland, these people have passed. These folks were not the very beginning, but they were the people that kept the fight going, that continues to, and it's really not a fight, kept calling the government to task and saying, you're not getting off the hook just because the first generation died off on the vine. It's not happening. And this has continued from for the 40s to today. We haven't mentioned a lot of the people. Three of them, unfortunately, McGarry's not here. Larry, Joe, Gary, they keep doing this because if we the people do not have the knowledge, we the people are not going to take this country back. After all, it belongs to us. Which, Mark, no, you say that, I believe in one of your comments here, that it's really depressing. Yeah, you know what, in a way, Mark, it is depressing, but it's also information, and it's also the truth. And to coin an old phrase, and I'm sure you've all heard it, the truth shall set you free, but you have to know the truth before you can act upon it. We can do something about this. People have been doing something about this for generations upon generations, and I sit here and think there's going to be generations after me, after Larry, after Joe, that are going to take up this and say, we are not going to let these people that we have put in government say, we can do any damn thing we want and there's nothing you can do about it. When you take a look at what's happening in the news today, I think the people are finally getting tired of it. I think they're not taking a real good look at everything that's going around, but at least they're taking a look at it. Which brings me to a fellow who had a very intriguing statement to say upon the ratification of the 16th Amendment, or as it was proposed to it. And he said it eloquently and in one paragraph, though a little bit confusing. Everything that we've been saying that does not make this so depressing, but makes it the truth. The government handed us a ball of wax, like a hall of, like a museum of wax. It melts when exposed to heat and the light of day. The people shed the heat and the light of day on what's happening in the government. It was Elihu Root, and I know you've heard it before, but yeah. I don't think it can be said enough when he said, I guess you will have to go to jail, when he spoke about the income tax. If that is the result of not understanding the income tax law, I will meet you there. We shall have a merry, merry time. Or all our friends will be there. It will be an intellectual center. For no one understands the income tax law except persons who have not sufficient intelligence to understand the questions that arise under it. Yeah, that's what we have. That's what it is. And that's why every United States citizen that has ever bothered and stopped to take a look at it and said, there is something drastically wrong with it. When you sit back and you say there's something drastically wrong with the income tax, you're not in the minority. You just happen to be right. The people just don't want to hear it because they don't want to hear the consequences of what it's going to take to stop this, what madness.
It's real easy to do nothing. You can sit back and do nothing and just cruise through the rest of your life. However, there are some people that want to do something and leave a better world for our posterity. Now, if you want to leave a better world for our posterity, climb on board with us. That's what we want to do. But if you want to just comfortably exist with the putting forth no resistance, well, just keep on doing what you're doing right now.
There's a quote from Sam Adams about
well better than tranquility, but serve if you love well better than tranquility, the servitude. Go home from us within peace. Cross down and lick the hands that feed you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Is that the quote you're talking about, Joe?
That's the one.
That's the one. The
beginning part of it. Yeah.
We even say, we, folks, the bottom line is we the people. This country belongs to us. This government belongs to us. Lincoln told you, it's government up for and by the people. If you don't want it like that, keep your mouth shut. Don't do anything. Don't go to your congressman, your senator, and say, listen, sport, this isn't your country. It's ours. You're there by our grace. We're not here by yours. We can fix this. We just need more people that have an understanding of what's going on so the action that can be taken in a manner that the government has to sit there and say, we've got to do something. As I said before, when the government said, oh, we're going to pass an amendment, I think it was the 17th, prohibition. Gee, that didn't work out so well. Or we're going to do Plessy versus Ferguson, equal but separate. That didn't work out so well. Or we're going to do Dred Scott. That didn't work out so well. In fact, Dred Scott started a war. The government's not always right. The people that are in government are not always right. In fact, I would dare to say this and challenge anybody to the contrary. The government's wrong. The people, not the government, but the people that we elect to run our government, they're wrong more often than they're right.
Yeah, we're going to let our attendees ask questions.
Yes. Yeah, there's been some comments in the chat. Anybody want to be unmuted and ask a question? Just chat here and we'll let you on. Probably only going to go another, 10, 15 minutes.
No, Mike, to your question that I'm seeing on the screen, I don't believe Bill Benson has passed. Larry, do you know?
No, he hadn't. But, you know, we have lost contact with him.
Yeah,
I think Bill is in real, John Justice is a friend of his, and they've had some falling outs, and John calls me every now and then, and, the best we can tell is Barbara, his daughter, Lorraine, his wife, died maybe about 5 or 6 years ago. So Bill's been living in that house up there at 1159 East 160th Place, Al Holland, Illinois, for a long time. But it seems like within the last year, he's vacated that, and I think he's probably living with either his son or his daughter, and nobody knows. So that's the status of Bill Benson. Bill Benson is the man that back in 1985 went to every state in the Union, check out how the ratification of the 16th Amendment happened in each state. And he made a report about that. And he wrote a book, The Law That Never Was. The conclusion of the book, The Law That Never Was, is that the 16th Amendment failed to be legally ratified because there were too many defects in the ratification process of the 16th Amendment. That's what Bill Benson did. And for doing that, the federal government went after him. They decided to indict him. So.
And Mike, looking at your comment, thank you for it, by the way. I think you've been enjoying the show so far. No, I have grandkids. In fact, I have 8 and about 3 great grandkids. They are screwed if they follow the route we're following. That's the whole point, is to teach my kids and my grandkids. Trust me, I have conversations with them all the time, and they're smart enough and they're old enough to see what's going on around them to say, you know what, if we can't fix this, for example, the 3 people and everyone that's sitting here listening to the show, if we can't fix it, we're leaving it up to our kids and our grandkids. And the longer we leave it up to somebody else, the harder it's going to get. Will it get fixed? History proves it will get fixed. The only question is, what's the cost?
Our friend Mark is unmuted and had a comment.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sure.
All right. This is back at Sean for a second. My comment was about your... for some reason, I can hear myself and it's quite distracting.
That's okay. We'll wait.
There's a feedback. Never mind. I'm going to try to talk. My question was, what can we do? It could be very depressing. I talk to a lot of people, and every time I even broach the subject, they just shy away. They don't want to talk about it. It's too complex. So there's 40, 50, 60, maybe 100 of us. What I was suggesting last time, there was an organization, We the People, that Larry was part of, and Bob Schultz has taken this issue with the congressman, et cetera, et cetera, and he was going to have a meeting back in 2001, and then the September 11 events took place. That was never readdressed. Save a Patriot, they attacked the one man. We're talking, unless we fight this governmentally syndicated mafia that's sponsored by these hidden money, deep state pockets, whoever these banksters have this ability, that were addressed by Eisenhower and Kennedy in an open forum. What chance do we stand? How can we do, the 50 of us, 100 of us? I think that unless we contemplate an organization of thousands and thousands, I don't know. I feel overwhelmed, and I don't usually talk about feelings, but it is an overwhelming issue to sell to a newcomer. And I'm going to stop here.
Okay, since you addressed it to me, Mark, let me give you something. My thoughts on it, and I'm sure Larry and Joe have something to add, is, yeah, it does appear to be overwhelming, but I don't believe we just have 50 or 100. There's an old adage that goes to marketing, or whatever you want to call it, is that for every one person that rings your phone, 10 other people want to ring it, or maybe more. I don't think we're talking 10 or 50 people. I think we're talking hundreds of thousands of people that have these same questions, that have the same problems, that want answers. And just like you suggested, what are we going to do about it? There's a lot of different things we can do about it. Before I get into that, I wanted to make a comment. I was watching, the Fox channel. And one guy, and it just about blew me away, because you don't hear this on the news media very often. He was sitting there, and he's a liberal Democrat, and he was sitting there thinking, and actually saying that, I fear there's going to be a war. And he quoted Lincoln. He said, Lincoln said, we don't want war to come, but war came anyway. Is that what we're facing? I don't know. I certainly don't want to see it that, but I'll tell you what, you have to understand at the same time, Thomas Jefferson explained to us that the tree of liberty is often watered by the blood of patriots and tyrants. Is it coming? I don't know. I would hate to see it's coming, because I'll tell you what, when it comes, I'm going to be dead, but I know who's going to fight it. It's going to my kids, my grandkids, and my great-grandkids. I don't want to see that happen. There's other ways to take care of that, and that is to get out there and educate the people. Now, you brought something up that's very interesting, and I have debated this with myself. How the hell do I sit down with somebody in an hour and explain to them that this is important enough to get further thought to? And I figured it out. It's not that you can change their mind as you speak to them, and it's not that you try to apostolicize them as you talk to them. It's that you tell them, you ask them questions, saying, you know what, I was just reading a book the other day. It said this about the income tax, and it said, gee, you know what? The income tax is this thing that collects taxes, but we got a guy here from the federal government who says, the income tax is for purposes of taxation. We can print money all day long, and we don't need to tax people. So what do you suppose they're collecting this tax for? And then you've got the IRS. They said, well, your labor is valueless. Did you know that you have no value according to the Internal Revenue Service? And plant these seeds to the people who start it, to the people. People will think, I don't believe, and a lot of people do, but I don't believe that we have a country of stupid people. We have a country of people that think if they didn't, Trump wouldn't be president. They think about these seeds. This is not going to happen overnight. I thought it was going to happen overnight in 1980 when I got involved. And guess what? Here I sit today. The seed has to be planted to the point to where people have to take cognizant of what is happening, determine what they're going to do it, congregate together to change it, grassroots movement, whatever it takes. As I was explaining a couple of weeks ago, you know, the LGBT movement didn't happen overnight. How did this happen? Have we ever thought about how this went about? Stopping prohibition didn't just happen overnight. People got together. They made it stop. If we turn back the pages of history, which is kind of what we were discussing tonight, and say, how did these people change the perception of the mentality of the people in this country? We can do this. Is it going to happen overnight? No. Can it happen? Absolutely. And if it can't happen the way the Constitution said under the First Amendment, as the liberal Democrat said on Fox News, there's a Second Amendment and nobody wants to see it happen, but that's why it's there. So I'm not giving up on this. It can happen. We just can't expect that. We're going to sit here and dump 3.5, 4.5, 5.5 years of research on the people and say, okay, you got this now, let's go do something. It's making them understand that there is something wrong and it's affecting you, your family, your future, your money, your value as a human being, your human dignity and your rights. And if you don't recognize that by the time you do, we're going to be in a bad place.
Would you... Do I have another minute here?
Sure, yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Would you gentlemen consider a reviving, we already addressed this, some sort of a Save a Patriot organization where we have like 20 attorneys that would sponsor, let's say, correspondence from Average Joe that joins the organization just for the beginning, let's say, first letter response, second, third, fourth with the IRS. What I have witnessed for the past 20 years is the IRS sends the first letter, we believe you owe. And regardless whether or not you respond, they do not reply. To me, that's a violation of due process. The second one is the proposed assessment. You say, well, okay, I would like to see in your proposed assessment where you calculated or took into consideration the constitutionally exempt income. What sections have you used the code? They don't reply. To me, that's another due process violation. Then they move on to, okay, determination of assessment. Now it's a final assessment. So they move, they steamroll through this process. It's an administrative process that has no due process in it. It's all computer generated. Okay, why do we just accept this? It's ridiculous just because they can. I mean, I'm bewildered by our turn the other cheek attitude about this criminal computer intrusion into our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that's how I view this. I would like to start before even accessing or talking about the code. I would propose an organization that does not require everybody to be a tax specialized mechanic on knowing how to deal about this. And I appreciate, I absolutely love Larry's efforts. I don't think anybody has matched his output. The value that this gentleman has brought to all of us is immeasurable by my standards. And what do we do though? Because if you look at it, he can't protect anybody in court. John Green cannot protect himself. We seem to be running from these a-holes that come at us just because they have the guns. This is not a righteous, this is not a moral. I can't even find my words. I'm frustrated with this. I've been at this for 20 years, and I'm going to leave it at this point. But maybe we can create an organization where paralegals would take individuals' circumstances and help them reply to the first four computer generations to establish a lack of due process, and they would be signed by some attorneys in the background. So the correspondence would be from the attorneys, basically, and that would kill from the get-go any possibility of criminal indictment. So therefore, the battle now moves to the administrative status. And there's where we could use the US person arguments that Larry and Gary have come up with. So it's more of a bickering at this point, and we can fight the battle without the fear of everyone going to jail, because that seems to be the most fear that everybody has in joining this movement or doing something about it. I'm going to leave it
there.
Can
I say something in response?
Sure.
I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to address what you've had to say, Mark, but before I do, I want to address something. I know that Sean means this, but he didn't say it.
Okay.
You seem to imply that we were going to leave it up to our kids to carry out the battle. Now I've known you for decades, Sean, and I think you misspoke there. You know, my preference is I would rather us carry out the battle than our kids.
I agree. And if I, and then if I misspoke, I apologize. Cause that was, what? Not right. Okay, I don't want my kids.
But you know, the first time I met Sean, you know what he was doing? He was working at the Free Enterprise Society, trying to build that organization to respond to the problems of the people, its members. And there have been groups like that that have been inside the freedom movement, inside the tax movement for years. Free Enterprise Society, which is now still hanging around, you know, you got one of the members that founding it on this program, decades of involvement. But then we've had, you know, other organizations, you know, Vern's organization, Free Enterprise, FES, Free Enterprise Society, that was doing the same thing. You know, they were doing legal research and battling for people. John Kottmeyer's organization was doing the same thing. Schultz comes along and he creates the We the People organization. Now, the problem with, you know, if I could be so bold as to make a comment about what I perceive the problem with Bob Schultz's organization is, Bob Schultz's organization was it was a out of the Bob organization. It was a top down, you know, Schultz is going to make all decisions and you better not try to tell him what to do. And, you know, it was that he got tripped up. The reason We the People in our organization in around right now, he listened to a guru and some guru gave him some bad information. And I'm not going to mention that guru's, it's a female, her name, but she created a real problem for Bob Schultz that Bob Schultz is still battling over right now. And that's what killed the organization. So we've had here in this movement organizations that have been designed to do exactly what you were talking about, Mark. You know, you've got Free Enterprise Society and it's still around here. There's on my screen, Sean's down at the bottom. So right down here at the bottom, we have a picture of a video of Sean. We've had John Kottmeyer. We've had Vern Holland. You know, those organizations have been around. There's a need for another organization to take the place of that.
Maybe even,
you know,
a
there's
delegation.
A big gap that's been left by, well, you know, there's a real need for carefully planned cases. And, you know, in contrast to some of these organizations that I'm talking about right now, like now, Free Enterprise Society, Vern's organization, Kottmeyer's organization, you know, there have been some that have been on the opposite end of that. They were offering services to their clients. And, you know, if I could be so bold as to bring up this name, I don't want to get stoned, but I might get stoned in any event. Eddie Kane, you know, Eddie Kane was doing a lot of this stuff that he was proposing. And you could take a look at what he was doing and say, boy, this is going to get a lot of people into trouble. And it did. It got him into deep trouble. He will die in jail. So you have to be very careful. I will tell you this, Mark, there's a lot of good issues that need to be explored. There is a real need in this movement for maybe a membership organization. Tommy was trying to build that with, you know, Tommy died in 2012. Tommy Crier.
Oh,
you know, one of the things that Tommy was working on.
Yeah, I agree with the membership. Membership would be great. Yeah. And a lot of people could benefit from, they could pay for the services. Anyone can afford a couple grand to have some correspondence with the IRS.
Well, you know, it's more so to me, if you go back, let me bring up, and I'm mindful of the time. It's 9:25 here, my time. But I'm willing to keep on going. I'm Joe, can we go another 15 minutes or so?
Sure, Larry.
Well, there have been some of these gurus that have floated through the movement and they got a lot of people into trouble. And Eddie Kane, you know, he was offering services to people And he got himself into trouble, and he got a lot of people that were working with him into trouble. You know, there was an organization called Take Back America from Florida years ago that was run by a guy by the name of Austin Gary Cooper. And, you know, Austin Gary Cooper just got a lot of people into trouble. And to make a final comment on Austin Gary Cooper, over on my website, down at the bottom of the front page, there's a link to a page called Problems. And then you go over to a page that deals with problems. And then I've got several different other links to other pages. But I address Austin Gary Cooper. Austin Gary Cooper's most recent, you know, destruction, he started working with a bunch of people in East Tennessee. I think he moved to East Tennessee. Now I'm talking about the Knoxville area. And he just got a bunch of people started writing these multi-million dollar liens against public officials. And 10 people got indicted out of that little Patriot group, all being prompted by Austin Gary Cooper to write these liens against public officials. And of course, that's going to just, you know, there's a trite expression, you know, this goes back to, you know, the days of William Wallace. And I think this expression that's that old is, if you're going to slap the king, you better be ready to kill him. And, you know, Austin Gary Cooper got these 10 people in East Tennessee believing that they could file these liens. So they slapped the government, and boy, the government comes back. Now, I've got links over to the Davidson County Courthouse website, their page, where you can go see the judgments that have been entered against these guys. You know, Austin Gary Cooper got 25 years for filing these multi-million dollar liens. You know, I think the next guy below him got 22 years, you know. But that's the type of insanity that has floated around the movement. You know, we've had, you know, there's a lot of good people, you know, and I would say that the good people are the ones that have been around a long time are still standing. And that one of them is this guy there with the blue shirt and red tie trying to mimic Trump, I think.
I got the wrong color jacket.
Maybe it's an opportune time.
Well, yeah, it certainly is. You know, I think there's a real need, but it's also been a battle for over the years. You know, there's been a, you know, if you talked about doing something sane and organized and thought out, you know, you've had these people like Austin Gary Cooper and Thurston Bell and, you know, some of these other crazy folks. You know, if you brought this up, nope, all you're going to do is get a battle from them.
Yeah, moving away from that, maybe we can contact a delegation of good people, us. We can attempt to contact someone like Kellyanne, get us an introduction to Trump. I think this might be the last administration, if the zombies take over, this might be the last administration we may have an opportunity to these issues and resolve them.
You're probably right.
Hey, guys, we're going to go ahead and at least cut the recording, okay? So just I won't cut off everybody, but let's just stop the recording if I can figure out how to do that. And
I don't mean to throw in monkey wrenches here, but
this is a very important discussion. We need it.
Yes. Great. Yeah, I'm glad you feel that way, yes.
And Mike just put up something about these zombies. I'd like to see that note again.
Mark, you're 100% right. We need a grassroots movement. I don't care if it comes from Free Enterprise Society Services. I don't care if it comes from Income Tax Ripoff, something that was started a couple of years ago. We need the people to focus, exactly the people who wanted LGBTQ stuff to go forward, who wanted prohibition to stop, who wanted civil rights laws back in the 1960s. That's what we need. The people that you see that marched in those streets, that were behind each other, that whether they threw $1 or $2 into the pot, we not only need those people, those grassroots people on the streets saying, you know what, we're mad as hell. It's called the network. We're mad as hell. We're not taking this anymore, and start showing the government we're not taking it anymore. There's one thing about the laws in this country that's a little bit more special than all the other laws in all the other countries. when the people don't like them anymore and they say, screw you, we're not obeying that law, you damn well better change it. The government representatives don't have any choice, because the only other choice is to put every American citizen in jail. And you know what? That's not going to work well in this country.
I was looking at the practical aspect of, in terms of time, how long it takes to develop an organization like Save a Patriot. That takes a long time. So what I'm proposing, a little bit outside of the box, would be, this is so distracting, this feedback, would be like a delegation, a letter, a contact with someone that's right hand, left hand of Trump, and bring this issue through, like someone, Rand Paul, for example, or someone else, that we take the clock back to 2001 in the pre-September 11 era and say, let's have that meeting, because this is tremendous issue, and in the electoral year, this could be another asset that Trump can spring over the Democrats and say, look, it just came to my attention that I had no obligation to file anything, and all these requests for my showing my tax returns are baseless, and come to find out, guess what, nor do you. So that may be a platform there, a launching pad that may last for generations to come. We need to save our kids.
I agree.
The last generation.
I agree, Mark. I agree with everything you're saying. By the way, this movement used to work with, I don't know to what degree, but to a degree, this movement used to work with Rand Paul's dad.
Guys, I'm just going to cut the recording. So we're going to see everybody next week, but I'm just saying that for purposes of the recording. So thanks for joining us.